This weekend, the remaining members of the Grateful Dead are celebrating the 50th anniversary of the founding of the band with three shows at Chicago's Soldier Field. Those concerts, in addition to shows in California last weekend, stand to bring in about $50 million, according to Billboard magazine. Up until the death of lead guitarist Jerry Garcia, Grateful Dead concerts were some of the top-selling shows. But the band hasn't always raked in the money. Felix Contreras is one of NPR's resident Deadheads, and he reports that some prescient business decisions helped the band create a loyal fan base, and it continues to grow even 20 years after the original group played their last notes together.
This is Dark Star, the Grateful Dead's legendary vehicle for improvisation that launched hundreds of live jams over their 30-year run.
The improvisation is the key to what they did.
Dennis McNally is the band's biographer and was also their publicist from 1984 until Jerry Garcia's death in 1995.
Improvisation became not only the one still point in their very changeable universe, but it applied to business.
The band's business decisions were also informed by a spirit of inclusion and mutual respect toward their audience, values the band adopted during the peace and love hippie era of 1960s San Francisco.
The Grateful Dead treated their audience as partners, not as cows with wallets.
That partnership was nourished by a few key decisions along the way. The Grateful Dead famously encouraged fans to tape their live shows. Those tapes were then traded among fans and served as a pre-internet form of viral marketing. The more people who heard the tapes, the more people wanted to go see them live.
But that's not why they did it. They did it because they were terrible cops and recognized that in order to stop taping, they would have to ruin the ambiance of their own shows.
Achieving that ambiance also required big investments in the band's sound to create the best possible listening experience for the audience. So when the band collectively squeezes down to a whisper, the intricate musical conversation is in full view, which allows the band and the audience to take a step toward transcendence, or something like it. And to get those fans to the shows, they created their own in-house mail-order ticketing agency, and in the process created a massive database of devotees. The end result was twofold. They eliminated the middleman, thereby putting more money into their pockets, while gaining a reputation for superior customer service. Another thing the band did was tape just about every show they ever played directly from their soundboard, and now those tapes live in a special vault in Southern California.
This is an American Beauty.
Mark Pincus is the president of Rhino Entertainment and general manager of Grateful Dead Properties, and he takes us inside a Deadhead's paradise, thousands and thousands of tapes.
It includes the masters for Box of Rain, Friend of the Devil.
Rhino has an agreement with the band to handle the production and release of these tapes.
We have mapped it out and believe that we have about 24 more good years of releases at the pace that we're doing, and we do 8 releases a year right now of The Grateful Dead.
Rhino enlisted David Lemieux, the band's longtime archivist, to curate a series of releases for fans who want to hear from every tape in the vault.
When we first started working closely together, I said, what's the dream project? What's the big project that you've always wanted to do?
Lemieux came back at him with a Deadheads dream release, all 22 shows of the band's landmark 1972 tour of Europe.
Dark star crashes, ashes.
I said, we've got to do that. We make most of our decisions, because both of us are fans, is would we buy this?
They got their answer, a limited edition 73 CD set sold out in less than a week. This enormous back catalog can be intimidating to new listeners. And as a longtime fan who saw his first show in 1984, Pincus acknowledges that the band can be a hard sell to non-believers.
You know, you tell people this is the greatest live band in the world, and people that hadn't seen them, well, what are they like? Well, they kind of ramble on stage. They tune their instruments for 2-3 minutes, and then they do their thing for the next couple of hours, and they don't talk to the crowd other than say thank you, good night, and yet they blow you away.
While always doing things their own way and still managing to put a few nickels in their pockets. Felix Contreras, NPR News.